upslope, collecting more stone around it. Other chimneys, a square tower, various slants of roof that were all of the same.
"That's your mama's little riding cottage, Hope?" Anna Page asked, fingering her hair, which was wavy dark and wild in the still of the approaching evening. The boatman, Robbie, he'd said his name was, glanced over his shoulder, his hands on the rough oars, not young, but steady and surprisingly well-kempt.
"That's the one to gawk at, the big house," he said,
his voice Irish rather than English. Perhaps that was the hint of not quite belonging I sensed in him. He raised the oars and pointed to the right of a lone wooden pier and a dilapidated boathouse.
"There's a cottage there, through the scrubs, see?"
A glimpse of cornflower blue took shape through the tangle of branches. A door overhung with vines on a cottage I'd seen only in photographs. A simple rectangle of grey stone, low walls around a patio, a last straggle of geraniums in a window box. I trailed a hand over the boat's edge, the echo wake of my fingers folding into that of the drifting boat as I imagined Mom riding at a wrought iron table on the patio, her feet up on a second chair. When it was colder, she would have moved inside, written at a desk beside a wood fire, or at a table piled with books and papers, pens and paperclips, and post-it notes, empty teacups scattered as if to catch drops from a leaking ceiling in a life that held little rain. Except maybe the disapproval of Amma, my dad's mom, who spent a lifetime trying to make a proper Indian wife of her Caucasian daughter-in-law. "That's the pier Mom uses, then, I guess," I said. "She keeps a bicycle and a small boat here, so she doesn't need a car." Kept a bicycle. Didn't need. Mom didn't need anything in this world anymore except for me to pack up what was left of her life in England, the way I'd not yet managed to pack up her pajamas and teapots and hairbrushes at home, her puzzle box collection, her manuscript drafts of the children's books she'd spent her life writing, but had never seen in print.
"Aunt Allie says there's a ghost who walks those hills," Anna Page said to Robbie.
Robbie answered softly, "That old crier of Claif on Furnace Fell, as long as ivy evergreens shall twine, may sally forth at will from his ravine, and rouse the boatman with his human yell." Julie blinked back the same surprise I felt at the fact of this boatman spouting poetry. A poem he'd have memorized to amuse the folks he took on tours of the lake, but still. "A ghost?" she said. And I remembered Aunt Frankie joking about a ghost friend of Mom's who played piano at an old mansion in the park at home. I imagined Mom insisting that the ghost of the grizzled old character who'd ferried her across this English lake could have been enlisted to take us. Anna Page leaned close to Robbie and whispered in his ear, the sprinkle of grays at her part line a bit tacky. Although that was just me being tacky. Anna Page had no marriage to end first and never had. She could have as many doors as she wanted. She could paint them any color she chose, which she did. Even at 51, Anna Page took in men as often as I took in the Sunday paper and took what she wanted from them and set them out with the recycling bin. Or that was the way it sometimes seemed. Julie could have as many doors or men or anything else as she wanted by then, too, with her divorce from Noah filed. I was the only one of us with a marriage left, or with what passed for one.
"They say he killed someone," Robbie said to Anna Page, or to Julie.
I wasn't sure which, but it was Anna Page's laughter that warmed the evening in response.
"Lordy, did Ma pay him to say that?" she said to Julie and me.
Then she delivered in a near-perfect mimic of her mother's southern accent, the Gatsby line our moms all whipped out at the slightest provocation.
"You look at him sometimes when he thinks nobody's looking at him. I'll bet he killed a man."
I heard Mom's voice wrapped around the words, Mom's laughter.
"Not a bloke, but a lady," Robbie insisted, as he set his weight to the oars again.
"His British wife. His British wife."